Brethren, here we are at day 49 of the 50 days that lead up to Pentecost, Pentecost being that 50th day, which comes tomorrow. Jesus was raised from the dead at the end of the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread, and the next morning was seen by some of his disciples, first the women who came to the tomb, and later the disciples, and through the rest of the 40 days, he was seen by them quite often. That day began the counting toward that very momentous day of Pentecost. And as Scripture shows us, for 40 days he was seen by many people. At one point, more than 500. And then he ascended into heaven with 10 days remaining until Pentecost. What was happening during that time? And Christ himself was very busy during that entire 50-day period, beyond the 40 days, the whole 50 days. He was very, very busy. We've often focused on various events, on what he did and what he taught and what happened to the disciples during that time period, occasions that include some of the most important elements in his ministry. You know, sometimes we think of his ministry as ending at the time of his sacrifice, but it didn't. It went on beyond, and it's still going on. This year, as I studied the chapters that pertain to that time period, I've been looking a little more closely at certain details that I wanted to understand more deeply myself. And so this is why I've been giving this series of Bible studies. The first one, He is Risen, and it spoke of the time when that announcement came by the angels and then by Christ himself as he showed himself having been raised from the dead and gave his disciples the fullness of belief in that. And then we focused on the things that were written as Christ himself pointed them to. Thus it is written, he said in Luke chapter 24. And there's so much that pertains to that and so many things that we can see. And then in our next Bible study on this to close the series, go therefore and make disciples. What he was leading them to be able to do, that great commission that he gave to his own disciples. And I began, as I studied these things this year, to realize that there's an underlying lesson too. There's something foundational, but it's not given in direct words as a therefore with something to follow. Or, thus saith the Lord. There's a lesson in all of this that I'm beginning to see more fully and completely than I had before. It's a lesson taught more by the example of Jesus Christ than by his direct words. But of course, it's dependent on and it upholds his words of truth and life for all of us. But instead of looking at those individual events, or even a series of events, I wanted to gain an understanding of the context of that entire time and try to see it from a better and different perspective, to see what Christ himself was doing on a larger scale than just those individual events that are recorded. The things that he accomplished by all of those steps along the way, but what was that grand purpose that he had in mind? The question that I asked myself as I studied was this: could we step back just enough to broaden our perspective, to see the greatness and the grandness of the work that Christ accomplished between the first time he was seen after he was raised from the dead and that morning on that day of Pentecost, that 50-day period? Could we see that as a significant part of his ministry, with a beginning and a goal reached, not an ending, but a goal reached? Instead of looking at those individual events, then, could we see that time as having an overarching goal? What was Christ's purpose during that time? And could we see his work during that unique period of time? It happened only then and never again, and yet it's recorded for us, and there's something that I've seen more fully, You've probably seen it too, and all of us have, of course, here and there, and we're aware. But during those 50 days, he was very busy, and he accomplished something very significant. And he set for us a pattern for the building of his church and how new generations of faithful people could be taught. He showed something so very significant. What was Christ's purpose during those 50 days? And how did he accomplish that work? And now, how is it that that pattern has become the standard for the work of God today? At his highest and best level, to follow what he did in the building of the church today. Let's set the stage just a little for this. While he was still with his disciples, Jesus had spoken to them of what he knew they would be called upon to do. And you may recall some of those things that are in the scriptures. As he taught them, there were often things that they did not understand until later. And nevertheless, those things were essential parts of their learning, and they could go back later having been reminded of them by the Holy Spirit. He had spoken to them about a new and awesome phase of God's work that would soon begin and would spread throughout all the world, and that there would that they would have a part in that work, a very important part. You might remember, and some of these things are shown to us on that Passover night, when he told them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And so we can see there that he was pointing them to something, a work that they would do. "The works that I do, he will do also." And there was something important that they didn't quite yet know what it was, but he was trying to let them know that he knew that they would be engaged in something very, very important. He said that same night, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." He begins to define that work a little bit, the bearing witness of him. And he spoke of many things like that throughout the ministry that he had with him. But specifically on that night, he was beginning to focus their attention on the future. But later that night, you remember the story. It's so graphically told in the scriptures. We reviewed it, rehearsed it, if you will, a few weeks back, around the time of Passover. Later that night, the shepherd was struck, and the sheep were scattered, as he said, and for 3 days and nights, they didn't know what to do. Their teacher had been killed, the one they'd been with for 3.5 years, the one they'd seen do so many miracles, the one in whom they had so much hope of a kingdom to be set up. And some of the men, more distant than the 12, buried him. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, two others more distant than the 12. Because the 12 had been scattered. One actually killed himself. Another was very stricken by what he had done and very ashamed. And some had just disappeared into the crowds around them. One, maybe, or two had seen him actually. They were scattered. And some of the women bought spices and prepared them for his body. They'd seen him dead. They'd seen him buried. And now they wanted to honor him with the spicing and with the typical things that would be done to honor someone they love very much. So they were focused on those things like that. But not one of them seemed to have it in their heart that he had been raised. They were all surprised. The beginning of that time period was one of sorrow. But by the end of 40 days, things were different. In Luke 24, I want to start with this verse and show you. And I wanted to see the contrast between the beginning of that time period and the ending of it. In Luke 24, verse 50-53, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. And we would say amen too to that. But they were then not the people who had been so sorrowful, but now they had great joy. And they came back, and there was a difference in them, and an amazing difference in a very short period of time. What made that difference? How did Christ help them to grow so much in such a short time period? When the angel said to the women who had brought the spices, "He is risen," he was raised with a great work set before him. He had more work to do on this earth. He had then ascended to heaven, came back, and was with his disciples, seen by them for 40 days. He was working when he was here. His ministry was not over. And that greater work that he spoke of to his disciples was about to begin. There was so much to do to equip them, to equip his disciples to serve alongside him, to engage with him in that spiritual work that God the Father had given him to do, of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and showing the way to eternal life to all the nations of the world. There was a very great work yet to be done, and Christ needed to equip his disciples for that. Jesus knew that they were not yet ready to serve as he knew that they would need to be. But here's the main point of this message, so that we'll all know what to look for as we consider the greatness of the work of Jesus Christ during those 50 days. He was equipping his saints for the work of service. And that's the title of the message, Equipping the Saints. A good place to start in the scriptures is in Acts chapter 1. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, picks up the story in the first chapter of Acts, and we open that chapter with verses 1 and 2. "The former account I made, O Theophilus," the book of Luke among the four gospels, "of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." This word "began" implies that he didn't finish it. There was more to do, and that work continued. And now Luke is picking it up and showing the continuing ministry of Jesus Christ and of his church being built. "He began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up." And we just read of that in chapter 24 of the book of Luke. "After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen." He gave them work to do. He said, "Do this. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations." He gave them commands to do, work to do. And so in 40 days, he had brought them from the time of grieving and sadness, a time of fear and doubt, a time of loss of faith, now to the point where they were so filled with joy, and they came together and they were ready, equipped to continue then in the work that he was giving them. This shows that Jesus was busy. These verses right here and others that we'll see too, that shows that he was busy during that time period accomplishing the work of the Father. As he described it, was the Father's work, and he was doing it. Was his food was to finish the work that the Father had given him to do. And now he's passing on to his disciples that ability to partake in that work, to have a part in it, but also to be equipped to do it. And we can track that work in the former accounts, as Luke says, until the day he was taken up. And so we see in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see especially in those last chapters of those books, that work that we're focusing on today. In verse 3 here in Acts 1, he says, to whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, and begins to tell us some of what he was doing, some of the results of his work. He showed them these many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He's focusing them on the future, on what is coming for sure, what is promised, but also of how we bring people to that time. He was doing that, and now he's saying to them, you go and make disciples. Teach them these things that I have taught and you, I have taught you. Speaking of those things concerning the kingdom of God. And we see he was with them. Look back in Mark. As I studied, there's so many references, and you turn through all these pages back and forth, and you put the story together. And I want to do some of that for you today, but to limit it to a few points. But I want to show you that he was there, and he was working with them and helping and to equip them. In Mark 16, verse 19 and 20, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And see, in these former accounts, we can come right to that point on that 40th day when he ascended and told them to wait in Jerusalem. But look in verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. This, I think, takes us into like the book of Acts. Because we know that they stayed in Jerusalem, they waited there until the Holy Spirit was given, and then they began to preach in a very, very bold way. And then they went out and preached everywhere. Notice, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And he was there working with them as he was then in heaven, and now they were on earth doing this work. And he had equipped them for that, to help in that work. And yet he was there to help them and to provide those miraculous things in the early days of the church being formed that we can read of in the book of Acts and on to our day. How did he do this? How did Christ bring his disciples that far in such a short time? I wanted to know because he works with us the same way. And so I wanted to distill this down to some of these points and just highlight them briefly so that we can see his work. And again, my focus is on the work of Jesus Christ during that time period. And look in Matthew 28. One thing that he did was that he settled them. As we've seen, we read, we know, they were very unsettled at the time, scattered, doubting, fearful, wondering what was happening, why, what would happen next. And so we pick up this story at the very earliest points when we see in Matthew 28 and verse 10, and the women come to the tomb. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Do not be afraid. He begins to settle the first ones who come, the next ones who come. He settles them because they needed that so very much. They needed to have what settling brings into our hearts. Look again in Luke 24. And I know we're going to turn to many different pages. You could hold your page there in Mark, in Matthew 28, Luke 24. We're going to be to the end of the books of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John as we see these points. I wanted to bring them down into individual points now so that we can see his work more clearly. In Luke 24, verse 36 through 39, he says, and now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. And now this is the time when the 11 disciples and those two who saw him along the road to Emmaus, they're together, and Christ came among them, and he said in verse 37, it says, they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? He's settling them. He's helping them to realize that they don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be troubled. That's so important in our own spiritual life too, and how Christ can work through us at the heart of our own feelings. And it continues through verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, it's me, I'm here. Handle me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And it was him, and he says, I'm with you. I'm here for you. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be afraid. This was such a powerful thing, brethren, to see them as, to see what he was doing, how he's bringing them from those early stages to something so much more dynamic that we see later. Mark that place, if you will, and then turn to John 20, verse 19 and 20. And it says here, then the same day, this is that first day of his being seen among them, then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, see their fear, they're hiding, they were unsettled, they needed to protect themselves, to pull inward, they were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. Let me settle you. Let me help dispel this fear. And now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so this settling helped people. It helps us now to have that gladness, that joy that can come when the fear is dissipated. He was settling them by showing to them and proving to them that he had been raised from the dead and that he was alive. He was with them. They'd gone to bury him. They'd gone to add spices to honor him. They'd gone into the tomb and see, where is he? Where have you taken the Lord's body? But he was showing them that now he was exalted. He's alive and he's with them. This instance includes the statement that leads to another of the ways that Christ equipped them for the work that they were called to do. In verse 20, as we've just read, and now when he had said this, he showed them his hands, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He helped settle them by giving them joy, to bring joy into their life. Along with that settling, he began to give them back that joy that they needed. In Matthew 28 and verse 9, and just in reference there, Jesus, when he spoke to the women who came to the tomb that time, he said to them, rejoice, be glad, have joy in your life, in your heart. There is so much to be joyful about, that he was alive and exalted and with them and was going to take care of them and see them through those next weeks and months and years of their life. That settling and the giving of joy would grow stronger during the next 7 weeks. We can track that and we can see that in the accounts. Brethren, these are very high-end spiritual gifts. What Jesus Christ was doing was exactly what they needed at exactly the right time, because if we are settled instead of fearful, the rest of our spiritual life can be much stronger. If we have joy, our grieving turns to hope. Our anguish turns to relief. With joy, we can endure even the worst trials that come upon us. If we have joy, we are better able to engage in the work of moving forward. To be engaged with others too who have that joy, and to joyfully come together to work, to do things, to move us forward. And put it in our context today, is we can have a team that can come forward, and with joy we can figure out how to go through this difficult time, and how can we come back together? How can we be face to face and be able to worship together? The times they were going through are so much worse, more difficult than what we're enduring. And yet they were brought through it, and Christ is there for us too, to bring us the same gifts that he gave them. And what a great way to start equipping his disciples. And brethren, every time he does this for us, he helps us to be settled. Every time he helps us to have joy, he's equipping us to serve. One of the next things that Christ did to prepare them for that greater work was the opening to their minds, their understanding of his word. And we've dealt with this in some degree in the Bible studies and some other messages, but I want to show you here in brief form how this was part of his plan, how he was working and accomplishing great things by doing this, by opening to their understanding those scriptures. In John 20, we see the need for this is one example, and there are others too. In John 20 and verse 9, we see that though they'd been with him, though they'd heard these things, they weren't yet deeply embedded in their mind. In John 20 and verse 9, it says, "For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And yet he said to them on several occasions that he would be killed and that he would rise again the third day." They knew that, but they didn't know the scriptures. They didn't know how that connected with what was written by Moses and by David and by Isaiah and the many other prophets. They didn't know this strong connection that shows the power of God through the centuries and the consistency of his truth, and how he laid things out from the beginning, and how Christ was that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He showed them the scriptures about himself and about the plan of God, about the kingdom of God that would come as a result of this work. He opened their mind to understand. In Luke 24, and this is a rehearsal of this point from those who were at the Bible study. In Luke 24 and verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them." These are those two who are walking on that road, and he came and joined them, and he opened to them the understanding of these things. You see, this is now just the third day after his after the resurrection, after the burial. This was, it says, as they said, now it's only 3 days. This was the beginning of those 40 days that we're talking about. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." See, this was part of his plan. This is how he's equipping his saints to know and believe the scriptures, and to see the connection with the plan of God, and how he would be coming, how he had come as the Savior of mankind. In verse 32, it says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" We see this, it was something that began immediately, and it grew more in depth as the time went on, and they began to see and feel and know and believe and get it. But then when they really got it, they were able to very much more be equipped for what they would be doing. It had that immediate effect on them, and it does on us. We can read something and say, that really matters to me. And I don't know how fully it matters, but I know these things are real. And we can see the same kind of work in our lives and feel it and know it and think back on our own calling. In verse 45, he says, And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And what a great thing he's showing us here. He's slowly and methodically equipping his disciples to serve with him. And these are the same things he does today, in the same way he has set in his church that we would grow and be equipped too. This was a critical part of Christ's work during those 40 days, to help them to really understand and to believe the scriptures, especially those passages about his work to save humanity. And as I said already, his work was not over. It would continue, and they would have their part in it. And that's why this was such an important part of their learning, of his teaching, to open to them the scriptures, that word that is written. In verse 46 and 47, he said, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He's showing them in the scriptures it was promised. It was fulfilled. It came to pass because God said it would. And that repentance, notice verse 47, he's pointing now to them. He's giving them their work to be done, with him working alongside them. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When he first came among them then on day one of the 40, they were not ready to do that. And he's beginning now and taking steps and taking those steps again and letting them practice and seeing again and again and again until they are fully equipped to go and to do what he is now showing them would be their work, to preach repentance and remission of sins to all people, to all nations. Opening the scriptures to them would be the means by which that word of God would be preached, the gospel, the kingdom of God, the truth about Jesus Christ could be and would be preached by people who believed it. It wouldn't be just something that reading pages and saying that would be interesting. No, this was by people who knew it was real and would believe it and could preach it from the heart, written on their own hearts and being able to be shared with others from a point of view of the full assurance of faith. And along the way, we could take the time and show so many of these accounts, but he did work with them to ground them in their faith. You've seen the instances of that where he said to those who came to the tomb, why didn't you believe? And when he appeared to them, oh, you of little faith, he said to Thomas and others, here are my hands. What he was doing is building their faith, showing them the evidence, showing them, reading in the scripture, showing himself to them, giving them the grounds that were the solid foundation of faith. And he did this consistently, and he does with us. He shows us time and again, and you could read through the scriptures written later by the apostles who were there, by Peter and John and James. You can read of those that were written by Paul, because he too was taught by Christ. And you can see those same patterns developing and grounding us in our faith. And he gave mercy. You can see this, and James later wrote of mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so it was a big lesson for them, a great lesson. He gave them that kind of mercy, and you see that in the example of him restoring Peter. And how merciful it was that he didn't put Peter down. We don't see any record of Christ talking to Peter about having betrayed him. Not betrayed him, but denied him. And Peter denied him three times, and how hard that was for him. We know from the scripture there was at least one personal one-on-one meeting between Christ and Peter, but those words are not recorded for us. But we see when he restores him, he's not looking back. He's mercifully looking forward. And Peter, you're here, I'm here. There's a work to be done. That work requires that you love me and you go forward and you feed my sheep and you tend my lambs. And so Peter had the full effect of that mercy given to him. And Peter writes of mercy. Peter understood these things and learned them. But we see in all these ways Christ equipping his saints, showing them how to be toward others in the future. He gave them grace. We can read of this not only in those accounts. I want to turn to some of the other words that we see that came written later based on what we see here. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want to show you some words that Paul wrote. Verse 7 through 10. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, and see, even Paul, who wasn't there to see this, he's inspired to write about it, to write about that 40th day when Christ gave that commission to his disciples and they saw him as he ascended. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. At that time, he gave them gifts of grace, gifts to help, gifts to serve. He equipped them for that work of service. And now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And the value of this is shown because he died for us. He descended. He was buried. He was raised again. And then he ascended and was exalted. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And Paul is inspired to write of that same time period and to show us that all of this goes together. That we're looking at the work of Jesus Christ, who during that time equipped his disciples to serve. And having just described it in those terms, then Paul continues about the same pattern that is now evident in the church today. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles. He equipped them to fulfill these various roles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. He equipped his saints, his disciples, and now he's given those gifts to equip the rest of those who would be taught by the disciples themselves for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. This ministry of Jesus Christ continues for the edifying of the body of Christ. One of the things that he gave them during that time, and I'll just explain it a little bit, he gave them unity. He gave them that ability to not only be joyful, be settled, to have their faith restored, to have mercy granted to them, but to be able to have unity. And so they came with one accord on that day of Pentecost. And look what Paul writes of that, and the same pattern follows through. And we see the equipping of the saints brings this kind of result. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we can look at him and we can say, what a great teacher he was. And how he spent that 50 days to bring his disciples to the point where they could pass this on and understand it from this point of view. That we should no longer be children. It was time for them to step into a new and higher role, tossed to and fro and carried around with every doctrine, every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. See, there's all this turmoil around us, and all of these things we have to navigate through, but we can come through that and beyond it, because with his Spirit in us and with his teaching and equipping us through his word, and now he's showing through the ministry that he gave the church to be able to teach, but speaking the truth in love, the truth, the word of the kingdom of God, the word of God's truth to us in love, that love of God, that love of one for another, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. We can be equipped for that service that he's called us to, as he equipped his disciples then. And continuing, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's what equipping brings us to. And we can see that. We see once the disciples were equipped, what happened then in Acts chapter 1 and 2? In Acts 1, we see Peter begins to quote scripture. He didn't before. And now in Acts 1, he begins to quote the scriptures because Christ has anchored him in that to show him, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for these things to be. We have that unity. We have all of this that Jesus Christ was doing during the 50 days, because after the 40 days, something else happened too. He was exalted, and from heaven above, he was helping his disciples. He was making sure they were settled and safe, and they were there, and patiently they waited for him. And then he brought that gift to them and gave to them the Holy Spirit of God, which God pours out on us through Jesus Christ. He gave them all of these things, and he helped them to see the things that they would need in order to continue on in that work and to do the greater works that he says. And he did give them work, because he knew that after those 50 days, there was much more to be done. And they would have a part in it, and then the generations that would follow would have a part in it. Let's go back to John 20. Verse 21. He says here in John 20, verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And now they were equipped, and he was sending them. He knew they were ready. He knew they could do it with his help. With the help of the Father, with the help of God's Spirit in us, in them. It says in verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There was that promise of it coming. He told them in another place to wait, and it would be poured out on them. But he's showing them visibly here, this is something that will come. Receive it, that Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28, these famous verses we read, but now in the context, as we see the culmination of this, those who were so scattered and fearful at first, now Christ turns to them and he says in Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's there with us. He's there to help. And it says in Mark, as we read earlier, that he was there helping them through those times as they went everywhere preaching, and the Lord working with them. He's with us and he works with us. And another way, perhaps better way to look at it is we work alongside him. We serve him and he helps us to serve and empowers, has equipped us and readied us for that service. This was going to be a lifelong work for them and a work that would last to the end of this age. What a blessing that we can be part of that now, all of us. In Luke 24, again, I'll just quote this because we've read it already. He commissioned them to go and do and to preach that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. That's Luke 24, verse 47. He gave them a very big work to do. You know, we can't just go down the street on our own and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has to be backed up by his word, his power, his strength, his truth, and the ones that he is calling. In Acts 1, it's now being after, this is actually before he ascended, in Acts 1, verse 8. This was as he is ready to ascend. In Acts 1, verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." Those areas where they had served together and walked. And a couple weeks, a week ago, we saw on the screen the maps of those areas of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. All of those places where he and his disciples had been. And they were going to go back and preach in those areas. Preach that he is risen from the dead. And preach that repentance can be given in remission of sins and to all the end of the earth as well. And we're recipients of that work that started then. And we can be very, very glad and blessed in this. Brethren, this is the way, these are just some of the ways that we can see that Christ equipped his disciples and bringing them through a very critical time, that inauspicious beginning when they were bringing spices to the tomb, when they're running to see where their body is, when they're fearful when he showed up, to the time when now they could come joyfully together and wait for that Spirit. And then when it came, to be able to preach boldly that word to help other people. The way Christ taught them became the way the apostles taught others. And passed on to us that same pattern of being equipped for service in the church of God. And there we could read many different lessons and read them all and see them in the words of Peter and John and James. We could see it in Paul's writing, as I said. Everywhere we read, we see that pattern is the pattern that helps us to be able to be equipped for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Jesus Christ was very busy during that time, but notice how successful he was. And notice that he brought them to the time when the next big event was to be the day of Pentecost, when that new phase of their life and work would begin. And they were fully ready for that. Waiting only then for the giving of the Holy Spirit, which then truly equipped them for serving under Jesus Christ.